Hey, New Hope, how y'all doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Okay, hey, let's give Jesus all the glory now. Can we do that one more time? Come on, let's give him all the praise. We love you, Lord. Jesus, yeah. My goodness. Y'all are absolutely amazing. It feels like I'm at home. It's been so incredible to be with you. You guys are being led incredibly well by God's grace. As Pastor Adam said, we get to work with a lot of different kinds of churches in a lot of different places, and not all churches are created equal, everybody. And so it's the people, it's the clarity of purpose, and it's the sense of togetherness that creates a great family. And this is absolutely a great family. Before you clap, just hold your clap for one more second. We did clap in church today, everybody. That's who we're gonna be. We did clap in church today. I want to honor your pastor and his amazing wife, Morgan. You can fool anybody for 30 minutes. But I see him when he's not, I see your pastor when he's not your pastor. And he's still a pretty good pastor, even when he's not your pastor. I mean, he's pretty good. And what I love about Adam, Pastor Adam, is just in my little bit of time of being here today, as I've met different staff members, I mean, first thing he does is tell me all the things about him that he loves. He's like, yep, this is Ashley, or yep, this is Nick, and here's what I love about him. Here's Austin, and here's what I love about him. And the reason that's important, it's because in those moments that he's sharing his thoughts, he's actually revealing his heart. My mentor told me, he said, the eyes aren't the window to the soul, the mouth is.
That's right.
And if you want to know what's in someone's heart, just listen to what comes out of their mouth. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So thank you for being authentic and genuine, for being a leader who sees the value of other people and looks to bring out the best in them. You're a collaborator. I love that. It requires a great deal of security to see other people win. And just being gone even the last couple of weeks as you've been under the tutelage of your amazing wife, Morgan. She had a long time to get you back for everything you ever did wrong. And you're back with us and you look better than ever. Everybody give Morgan a hand clap of praise. Morgan's the real MVP. The real MVP. All right. Such a great family. Well, I come all the way from Iowa, as Pastor said. My wife and I planted a great church in 2015, so almost 10 years ago. And God's been he's done amazing things. Nobody's more surprised than me, because I know me. So I'm like, wow, miracles do happen. I'm leading this. And so it's an honor to be here with you all. I was a little surprised at how excited they were when I told them I was leaving. I was like, I'm going to be gone on Sunday. They was like, go ahead, Pastor, take your time. I was like, wait a second, that's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say we miss you, not take your time. So you might see me next week too. But if you don't like this sermon, it's okay, I won't be back. So you just got one Sunday, you gotta deal with me, and then your pastor's gonna be back, and he's gonna preach the paint off the walls, and it's gonna be an absolutely great Sunday. I wanted to introduce you to my tribe, my family, who's at home right now, having church. My wife oversees our children's ministry. Pray for her, everybody. And then I've got two amazing kids who are awesome. So let me show you my family. So the pretty girl with the big smile in the hat, that's all I'm gonna say. If I say any more, I'm gonna leave right now. Just gonna run home. Her name's Angela, and we've been together. Actually, October 1st, we went to Europe for almost 3 weeks to celebrate 30 years of dating, everybody. 30 years, I know, 30 years of dating, I know. And then the pretty little girl, she's still called a little girl, she got that little, it looked like a booger. It's a nose ring. It's a nose ring, but it looked like a booger. I don't know what's wrong with these kids, Adam. I don't know. But anyway, she's 30, so she can do what she wants to. You know, she's 29. I know y'all thinking, how's he got a 29-year-old? First of all, ain't none of your business. Second of all, black don't crack. Okay. That melanin working overtime, everybody. Okay, all right. And then the guy, the little boy with the buggy eyes. Well, his eyes so buggy because I told him if he didn't smile, I was gonna smack the block off of him. And He starts smiling. That's my son, Jonathan. We call him Bubba. That's my crew. And man, 30 years, I know it's like, was this comedy? Or is there like a point in all of this? Yes, we'll get to it. But I wanna make you laugh first because I'm gonna make you cry in a second. So here's the thing that we've discovered after 30 years of being together. And this is really what I wanna talk about today is, here's what I know to be true is at some point in life, maybe even now, you have, will, or currently are experiencing a sense of being overwhelmed. All of us in this place at some point will feel overwhelmed. I know, you're like, Pastor, say something positive. I am positive. You will be overwhelmed. I am sure of it. And what I've learned after 30 years of relationship is that it'll pass. We've had seasons of feeling completely overwhelmed when we were young and just getting after life and things were amazing. We were overwhelmed because we had a lot of dreams but not a lot of money. And then we started having kids and I was happy how they got here, but I was like upset that they were always stinking and crying. And then I was overwhelmed because then I was worried about like tetanus shots and like in my mind, like somebody was gonna take them. Like nobody takes kids. Like people are trying to get rid of their kids. But in my mind, they were gonna take them. And so I had all these fears. I was completely overwhelmed. At life. As a matter of fact, we felt the most overwhelmed. You can show them the next picture. This is a young 19-year-old version of me. They're smiling, but they're overwhelmed because I am about to do 10 years in prison in this picture. Worst mistake ever made, hardest season of their lives. For 10 years, trust me, taking in groceries by yourself, showing up to concerts alone, it can make anybody feel overwhelmed. But here's what we've learned. We've learned that you can be overwhelmed and not overcome. That's a good place to clap. I'm gonna help you today. That was a good... I want to talk to us about being overwhelmed but not overcome. You cannot escape being overwhelmed, but you can choose not to be overcome. You cannot control what happens around you, but you are in control of what happens within you. And I want to teach you how to gain durability, resilience by growing in your relationship with Jesus. You can overcome in life, even when you feel overwhelmed. Your relationship's rocky, kids are not quite turning out how you thought they would. Maybe your body's screaming at you, there's a diagnosis, and you're afraid of what's gonna happen next. There's a career opportunity, you're not quite sure you're ready to grab it, capable of grabbing it, or you're willing to pay the cost to attain it. I don't know what's got you overwhelmed, but I've come to tell you today, you don't have to be overcome, and you don't have to lie and say you're not, because we all know that you are, have been, or will be overwhelmed at some point in life. It's just called living. But boy, there's some good news in that you don't have to be overcome when you feel overwhelmed, everybody. There's some good news there. As a matter of fact, it's been so true in our own lives, the reality of feeling overwhelmed but not being overcome is out of our own life experience and struggle, pastoring, being parents, being partners, that we decided to write a book filled with biblical truths and principles to help you overcome when you feel overwhelmed. The book's called Fighting for Love. And I grew up in the 80s, back when boxing was boxing. Now, some of y'all ain't got enough gray hair to remember names like Marvel and Marvelous Hagler, Tommy Hearns, Duran, just the great Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm just some great boxers. And in boxing, they call it stepping into the squared circle. I want to teach you how to be overwhelmed but not overcome. In relationships, you step into a different kind of ring. Come on, somebody. It was like, she lied. You know, it's like ding, ding. Like, it's a ring. He lied. Here's the thing. All couples fight, not all couples win. So when you feel overwhelmed, you don't know what to do and how to overcome, and so it begins to overcome you. In boxing, what happens is a person, an opponent, will begin to pursue you. They're after you. They pressure you. You start feeling overwhelmed. You feel pushed back into a corner. You don't know what to do. It's coming at you from all angles. The people out there are making a lot of noise, so you find yourself distracted, and on the inside, you begin to panic. Maybe you felt that way. You've heard the saying, when it rains, it pours. You start feeling overwhelmed. I can't win for losing. The universe is against me. How are we ever going to get out of debt? Oh no, the tax bill's greater than I thought it would be. I feel completely overwhelmed. That's okay. You don't have to be overcome. And the way that you overcome when you feel overwhelmed in boxing is the same way you do in life, love, and in all that matters. The first thing you got to do if you're going to overcome, even when you feel overwhelmed, is you gotta keep a cool head. Because when emotions are high, logic is low. In relationships, specifically, primarily, when emotions are high, logic is low. If you're gonna overcome, when you feel overwhelmed at the sound or sight of an argument, you've gotta keep a cool head. Early on in marriage, I was convinced she was gonna leave me because I left the hot sauce out, everybody. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh no, it's over, she's leaving. I know. She drove away, I know. You know, it's like, no, she like went to get more hot sauce because I emptied it. You know, like I was always afraid of things falling apart. What I've had to learn to do, like in boxing, when you feel smothered, you feel pressured, when the tests, you got to do them, if you guys are in college or school, you kind of feel overwhelmed, maybe the social anxiety, maybe you don't really know what's next in life. When you start feeling overwhelmed, first thing you got to do, keep a cool head, breathe. When emotions are high, logic is low, which means in the height of an argument, I'm not going to say my best stuff. What my wife and I call it is surviving the surge. It's not, one of the ways you survive being overwhelmed is outlasting the moment you're in. So in the middle of intense fellowship, AKA arguing, what I've learned is a open ear is a closed mouth is just stop talking. I was gonna say it all slick and cute, just, that means zip it. My mama would say, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason, son. And so I found a listening ear is better than an open mouth oftentimes when I feel overwhelmed. A listening ear is better than an open mouth. Keep a cool head. When emotions are high, logic is low. The truth of the matter is when I became a Christian, I thought I wouldn't be overwhelmed anymore, Pastor. I thought, man, I've given my life to Jesus. Everything's going to go great. It's going to be smooth. Then I became a pastor. I was like, I'm bulletproof, baby. I'm in God's service. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the army of the Lord. Can't know, you know, the weapon form ain't going to proper. Well, it was formed all right. It did. Oh, it was formed. It was formed quite often. And here's what happened, I think, for some of us, maybe in the house, maybe you're watching somewhere online, you would say, Pastor Q, I go to church, but I still feel overwhelmed. Like, if God was for me, why does he let this stuff come against me? What I would tell you is that, if you're a note taker, write this down. Jesus never said that we wouldn't be overwhelmed. He just said we wouldn't be overcome. He never promised us a life without trouble. He just said, I'll give you the victory. In John chapter 16, 33, Jesus actually is teaching his disciples, and he says it this way, John 16, 33. He said, I've told you these things. Pay attention. Wordplay is important. I've told you these things. So that means there's some things that Jesus is teaching us. In context, he is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, I'm going to die. He goes, but I'm telling you this because you're about to be overwhelmed. And I would say, no matter what the reason is you're overwhelmed, the words of Jesus still have the same power to provide for us now what it did for them back then. And what Jesus said is, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you will get overwhelmed. He says, I am positive in this world there will be trouble, but take heart. I've overcome this place. I've overcome this place. Let me say it to you this way. To the believer, this is the closest thing to hell you'll ever experience. To the unbeliever, this is the closest thing to heaven you'll ever experience. And Jesus said, I've got good news. Even for the saint who suffers, you can be strengthened because I've overcome this world. That might be a good place to. So what do? We find ourselves in situations where we have a sense that there's struggle, there's strife, maybe suffering, sickness, who knows? But in the moment, I'm feeling overwhelmed. But man, Pastor Q, you're saying that I can still overcome when I feel overwhelmed? Yes, if you'll learn to keep a cool head relationally in those moments when you feel overwhelmed, if you'll not be so quick to react, you'll take some time to respond because you know when emotions are high, then logic is probably pretty low. Well, if you're gonna do those things to kind of in the moment maintain your peace to overcome it, when you feel overwhelmed, what you're really gonna have to do is get to a place where you and I learn to trust our training. You can write that down, trust the training. Yeah, we got a clap or two to the right, and I love you. I'm just gonna preach to this side of the room. You gotta trust your training. Where'd my clapper go? Where you go? Girl, come on, I'm counting on you over there. It's my hype woman. I'm gonna start traveling with you. Okay. Trust your training. So let me say it this way. Don't try to win. I know it sounds so counterintuitive. Don't try to win. Train to win. The Navy SEALs have a saying. They say, we don't rise to the level of the occasion, we fall to the level of our training. We don't rise to the level of the occasion, we fall to the level of our training. Some of us, we're failing because we're trying. God doesn't want you to try, he wants you to train. Trying is what you do when you haven't trained. Okay, I'm an 80s kid. Words you never want to hear as an 80s kid in school is, meet me outside in the playground after school. Y'all remember that? They're like, the whole school know, did y'all hear? He told Q to meet him in the playground, and the whole school out there, and you nervous all day through PE, through art, you just sweating. You like, man, and it's always some scary name, like Big John wants to fight me, So you like nervous, you like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So you school bell, you can't escape it, because everybody know John, who's like in second grade, but he's like 6 foot, wanna fight you. So, you like, man, what I'm gonna do? Now, my BC days, I've been in a few of these, My BC days. That's my before Christ days. Don't look at me like that. You just glad they didn't have cell phone cameras. Huh? Huh? Your BC days, huh? I know you Betty Crocker right now. You used to be Betty Boop. Huh? We gonna tell the truth up in here. Yeah, Betty Crocker, huh? Okay, so me and Big John, we go outside, I'm like, what's up, boy? I got one move, I ain't got a wind coming. I'm gonna hit him with the good old windmill. Y'all ever seen the windmill? Listen, the windmill is a non-fighter's plea. The windmill is just, put your face in my fist, please, so I can win. That's called trying. I ain't never seen a windmill win a fight. I've never seen somebody who did the windmill win a fight. I mean, it ain't like Mike Tyson, like, say, hey, champ, what's your game plan? I don't know. I'm just gonna try some stuff. No. Mike wasn't like, I'm just gonna try some stuff and see what happens. In our relationships, if we're not training, we're trying. And you go, well, Pastor Q, when was I trained to win at life, love, and all that matters? When was I trained to overcome when I feel overwhelmed? Right now. Like right now, this is what training in part looks like. Like in the middle of the trial, God wants to remind you of your training so that you can overcome when you feel overwhelmed. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Look at what Jesus says. Talking about remembering your training, you're not trying your training. Jesus says, but when my Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will do something. He will teach you everything and he will remind you of your training. He'll remind you of everything I have told you. Here's the problem. If you're not training, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to remind you of. Jesus goes on. He says he's going to remind you of some stuff. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. And here's the gift. It's peace of mind and it's peace of heart. If you let the Holy Spirit remind you of the training, that training will produce within you peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give you is a gift that the world cannot give. So even though you're overwhelmed, you don't have to be overcome. That's Q's version. So Jesus says, I'm giving you a gift the world can't give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. So how do I get trained, Pastor Q? Well, write this down. Obeying Jesus's teaching is how you go through training. Obeying what Jesus said is how you go through training. If I were a boxing coach, I would tell you what to do, how to move, how to hold your head, how to hold your arms, how to protect yourself. And in the middle of the battle, you would bring back to mind the things you were trained to do. Training time in peacetime gives you success when it's crisis. And oftentimes as a pastor, couples come in crisis, not when they need a checkup. So the car's broke down and they need me to fix it, as opposed to doing what I've been teaching them, which is how you do maintenance. Does that make sense? So what do we do? Like, how do we overcome when I feel overwhelmed? Well, number one, man, I'm gonna keep a cool head. My emotion's high, man, logic's low. So that means what am I gonna do? I'm gonna trust Jesus even when I feel overwhelmed by remembering my training. That means I'm gonna train to win. I'm not gonna try to win. And how am I gonna get trained? I'm gonna get trained by obeying what Jesus said. I'm gonna follow Jesus's regimen and routine for relationships. I'm gonna trust the training. I'm gonna trust what God's word says. So when I get upset and I'm overwhelmed, I'm not gonna repay evil for evil, but actually I'm gonna remember a kind word turns away wrath. When I feel like I'm not getting my needs met, I'm gonna remember what Jesus said. I'm gonna actually trust what Jesus says, and I'm gonna love her even when I don't feel like I'm being loved. I'm gonna go to God to get love, and I'm gonna go to her to give it away. I'm gonna love her more than I love myself. I'm gonna serve, sacrifice, and surrender so that she can be all that God wants her to be, because the Bible says if I'll do that, then no man ever hated his own body, and if I treat my body good, my body will treat me good. That one was for the ladies. Y'all should have been like, go ahead, Pastor. Tell him, Pastor. I'm gonna remember what Jesus said. And actually, that's what the writer of Hebrews leads us. The writer of Hebrews says it this way. The writer of Hebrews says, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best that they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. Pause. Just, I'm gonna live a disciplined lifestyle, and as a result of doing some things, it's gonna shape who I become. I'm gonna trust the training. I'm gonna trust my Father knows best. He's leading and guiding me. He's shaping me and molding me according to what he knows I need to hear, which means I'm not always gonna like it, but I'm gonna learn to obey it, because I believe if I do it his way, if I'll stay locked into his plan, then when adversity, when opposition, when overwhelm comes, I'll be prepared because of the training to overcome it instead of being overcome by it. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. The next part of the verse, he says, because no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. I joked first service, I'll try it again. In other words, it's not gentle parenting. Okay. There's a lot of millennials in here. They didn't like that. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Next, you got one more. Next week, pastor's back. It's going to be awesome. Okay. So no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. So my alarm clock goes off. I'm gonna get up and get to church. I'm gonna get on the team. I'm gonna trust God with my resources. I'm gonna apologize even when I can see she did something wrong. I'm gonna still own it, my part in it. None of it's enjoyable when it's happening. It's actually painful. It's actually painful. But the reason we accept it and we embrace it is because of this next part of the verse. But afterwards, if you'll embrace the training, if you'll embrace the training, afterwards, there's a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So how do we overcome when life comes at us? Keep a cool head. I'm gonna trust the training. And probably an essential aspect, one of the most essential aspects. What do you need to do to overcome when life gets crazy? You've gotta protect your perspective. Because what gets your attention affects your emotions and sets your direction. Okay. So if you spend all day looking at the news, no wonder you're a nervous wreck. And protect my perspective. Pastor Nick, could I steal you again for like a few moments? Give Pastor Nick a hand. I did this first service. I sent like four warning shots, like, hey, here's what I'm gonna do before I do it. So don't respond, just roll with me. Y'all gonna see why in a minute. You're gonna see why in a minute. Okay, so in boxing, there's two opponents. Both of them will play defense and offense throughout the bout. One of the things you learn to do as a boxer is to protect yourself. And hand placements is important. You don't want your hand so high in front of you that you can't see who's in front of you. You want it high enough to kind of guard your jaw, kind of right about eye level. You want to be about right here, legs tight in, so that way you can still see, you can bob, you can weave, you can block. Does that make sense? Can y'all kind of see what you want to do as a boxer? But when you start getting overwhelmed as a boxer, your natural default is to bring everything in closer, and you move from being able to see the threat to guarding against it. And so what can happen, Nick, can I use you? This is why I warned him. See, look at that. If he hit me, I'm a flop like LeBron. You just touch me, just watch what happened. I'm gonna fall straight out and start shaking. I'm suing, I'm telling you right now. I'm tired of preaching anyway. I need a vacation. Okay, so I don't even know what's happening right now. Okay, so Pastor Nicky, throw your hands up. Okay, so now at first he can still kind of see me. He's got line of sight. And let's just say as a person in life, as a boxer, it doesn't matter. If he starts getting just kind of completely overwhelmed and I'm just working him over time, see, he's gonna start tightening up because he's trying to keep me from getting in here. I can't get here. He's gonna block down there. So I gotta try to come over here. And so now he's so busy protecting himself, he can't even see what's in front of him. Some of us have been hit so hard and so often by life, we're living guarded. What does that mean? You're so focused on protecting yourself, you don't have enough vision to see the possibilities. Maybe he does love you for you. Maybe you could go back to school. Maybe you're more than your past mistakes. But no, I can't let anybody in, because last time I let somebody in, I got hurt. And now what happens is, because you're guarded, you think everybody's trying to attack you. You can't open up your heart to let anybody love you. All you see is the pain, the problem, and the things that you've been through in your past. And I'm just telling you, you got to protect your perspective. At times in a boxing match, the coach will say, drop your guard and let your hands go. In other words, you're still in this fight. You ain't got to just live protected. You can pursue what God has for you. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Thank you, bro. You gotta stay in the fight. There's still some fight in you. I know you taking some hits. There's some stuff about you don't nobody know but you, and you're afraid it's gonna get out. I know they said some stuff that you ain't got over yet. I know some trouble at home, sweetheart. You show up to church and you're worshiping on the front row. You're a high school, middle schooler, but there's some stuff at home. Baby, God says, I'm fighting for you. You're not fighting alone. I know you've been through some stuff. You've been knocked down. You've been overcome, been overwhelmed. I get it. But can I just tell you what you see isn't all that there is to be seen? Because the Bible says, as followers of Jesus, we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's what the scripture says. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to me. I know some of you maybe could be in the room and you're wondering, yeah, that's that, you're trying to Jesus juke me. No, listen to me. As a follower of Jesus, walking by faith doesn't deny what I see. It just means I know that what I see isn't all there is, because I've got a God working on my behalf. Does that make sense? So I know the marriage looks, if God can raise a dead man, he can raise your marriage. If God can heal a leper, he can heal your relationships. If God can take slaves and turn them into a nation, God can bring you from wherever you came from and put you exactly where he needs you and wants you to be. All I'm saying is let God have the final say. Even though you feel overwhelmed, you don't have to be overcome. And this is the prayer of every pastor that I know who loves his congregation. It's a prayer found in Ephesians chapter 1. And here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. I know your pastor's praying for you. I'm praying it for my church. And I'm praying that the eyes of your heart would be opened up. The eyes of your heart. You go, Pastor Q, I don't got eyes on my heart. I got eyes on my head. I go, no, with these you see with, but with your heart is what you live with. So you don't see things as they are. You see things as you are. And so the idea, oh, you can clap for that real quick. Okay, now listen to me. I got to teach you. You're in training. And your perspective, I'm not good at anything. That perspective is dipping. It's falling into darkness. And so the prayer is that your heart, the eyes of your heart, they get some light on them. Because the more light you have, the more clearly you can see. My mama say, boy, you're going to go blind reading in the dark. Right? Because I don't have a lot of light to see in front of me. So God's word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. And the more I'm in God's word, the more I'm in God's house, the more clearly I can see. And that's what I'm praying for you, that you would see. Matter of fact, you see so much that you would start to know that you have hope and you have a calling on your life. And not only that, but watch this. He says, and that you would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let me translate that for you, that you see how valuable you are to him. That you just see it. That's my prayer. That you wouldn't be overcome. That you'd stay in the fight. But I know it's hard. Life isn't easy. I'm sorry no one ever told you, but it's not. It's worth it. It's valuable. Jesus said he'd be with me in it. He said that although I get overwhelmed, he said I could still overcome. He's trying to teach me how to listen to his voice, how to lean in and how to keep a cool head, how to trust the training, how to guard my perspective. But it doesn't matter. I'm still in the ring in my relationship. I'm still in the ring in life. I'm in the ring. But what matters to me? I don't know what your ring is. I don't know what you're facing up against. But I know everybody in this room, within the sound of my voice, is in a battle somewhere. And my mama would say, "Boy, you're either in a storm, you're going into a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But there's a storm a brewing." And what I would tell you is that no matter how strong, how wise, how rich, how innovative, how relationally connected you are in a fight, and in a fight you will get battered, beaten, and bruised. And so if you're going to overcome, I'm just going to say it to you the way I want to preach it, and I know it ain't good English, but you need to come to your corner. You can't stay on the mat the whole time. Can I just tell you, instead of coming to the corner, some of us we're going after things to satisfy the suffering we feel. For some of us, you know, it's an extra drink. It's not managing the prescription, it's abusing the prescription. For some of us, you know, and none of you have been, stop looking at me right now, but it's food. So when I say food, y'all was gonna look at my stomach. That's why I said that. That's why I pulled it first. None of your business. Don't worry about me. We all got, can I just tell you what we're doing? We're all medicating somehow the pain. All of us. Shopping, binge watching, becoming overly involved in our kids' life because the marriage feels dead. Neglecting our kids because we're afraid of losing the person we're with. I mean, you pick it. We're all medicating. What if I told you Jesus wants to heal what you're medicating? Actually, the book we wrote, this is why we wrote the book. It was in a season of my life where I was completely overwhelmed. I had just come home from prison. Angela was pregnant. I was working 3 jobs. I didn't know if I was good enough. I didn't know if society would accept me. I didn't know if I had the willpower that I needed. I didn't know if there was so much that made me feel so overwhelmed. One night we were driving to a conference at our church. We couldn't afford to go, but there was a couple in our church who said, the marshals need to be there. They had no idea what was going on in our life. They said, the marshals need to be there. We're gonna give more than our tithe. We're gonna give some money for that family to be able, so thank you to the generous people of New Hope. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm gonna tell you right now, you saved my marriage. We're at the stoplight on the way to the conference. It's a spring day, it's raining. Angela and I are fighting again. I look out the window under my breath. I don't say it out loud. Come on, somebody. But I said, I ain't stupid, you know. But I said, God, I quit. This woman waited on me for almost 10 years while I was in prison. She raised our daughter. She's pregnant. And I can't do it. I am not strong enough. I don't want to keep fighting. I don't even know if it's worth it anymore. God, I quit. I quit. I quit. I quit. We go to the church. She says, I'm not going in. You go in there by yourself. At the end of the conference, about 600 people in the room, the guy stands on the stage and he goes, I just want to share some thoughts that I feel like God's given me for some people. He's looking around the room. And when he says it, I immediately say, oh, God, speak to me. I want to quit. I mean, I felt so much shame, but also some relief because I was ready to stop trying. I tried all that I knew. I said, God, I need you to help me. He looked out and he said, you man in the red shirt. If you would have just said, hey, black guy, I would have knew it was me for sure. It was an all-white church. You'd be like, hey, brother. I would have been like, yo, what up? But he didn't. He, like, confused me. I was like, who, me? And he says, yes, you. He says, stand up. Stand up. He said, I see you. You've got golden glove boxing gloves on, but they're not lace. And God says to you, you cannot quit. And I just broke. He says, you're like Atlas. The people are dependent on you. He says, you will be a pastor one day. You will plant churches. He says, but you can't quit. And it was like my back was against the ropes going to that church. I said, God, I'm done. I'm on back. Throw in the towel, coach. Throw in the towel. I'm done. And God from the corner said, you can't quit. You can't quit, Rock. You got to stay in the fight. And I came to tell some people, you can't quit. You're ready to throw in the towel. But he's got to come to your corner. Let the coach work on you a little bit. Let him remind you of who you are. That's what Jesus said. I know I should have said, go to your corner. But Jesus didn't say, go to me. He says, come to me. Matthew 11, 28. All of you who are overwhelmed and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Next part of the verse, he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me train you. Let me teach you. Because what if it's not her fault? What if you guys just need to do it Jesus' way? What if it's not really him? What if it's both of y'all and y'all just need to do it? He says, listen, I'm humble, I'm gentle, I get it. He says, but I'll give you rest for your souls. A vacation can rest your body, but only Jesus can rest your soul. And he says, take my yoke. He said, my yoke is easy, it's my burden is light. Let me just end with this thought right here. Put it up on the screen for him. Is that your success, truly, it increases when you listen to your coach. And maybe you're in the house and you've never come to King Jesus. You've never asked him to heal you up, fix you up, get you what you need. You've been in the fight for a long time, and it's time to come to the corner. Ask Jesus to help you. For some of you, you know him. And you're like, I ain't going to the corner yet. I still got some fight in me. He goes, you don't need more fight. You need a better plan. And I've been watching you, and I know exactly what you need, but you got to come to me. Can I pray for you, everybody? Would that be okay? Father, thank you for these people. You know their name, and you know their story. You know every battle they've ever been through and every bruise they've ever suffered. I pray that you would heal them in places where they feel broken and that you would lead them where they feel stuck. Jesus, I pray that we would come to you, surrender, and allow you to train us so that we can overcome. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. And we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for it. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.